Okay, are you ready for the word? Listen, there's a whole lot going on in this earth, and I don't have to tell you. I hear so many prophets and preachers and teachers right now talking about we are racing toward the end of time. I mean, the end of time is here, and we are just racing toward it. While at the same time, the New World Order and all of those things are also racing at the end of time. At the end of time. We're racing toward it, but they're here. And Jesus warned us, and he told us that these things were going to happen. So the Bible says that the nations will be raging. And we're watching them rage right now. And we know that you hear of wars and rumors of war. One of the greatest rumors that we have right now is about China that's going to overtake Taiwan. Probably going to happen, but who knows? Maybe not. China and Taiwan. But we see the actual war going on between Russia and Ukraine, between Israel and some say Hezbollah. Yes, Hezbollah. And Iran is at the top of the scale. And I think just about everybody knows that. So there's so much going on. But when we were in Israel, there was a word that we heard, and they use it. This is Israel's greeting. It's their greeting when they say, good morning. It's their greeting when they say, hello. It's their greeting when they say, goodbye. It's their greeting when they say, we'll see you later. It's their greeting when they mean to say, have a blessed day. It is shalom. And every time we got on the bus, the tour guide would say, shalom. Shalom. She would answer her phone, shalom. And when we were breaking up for the evening and we were going to have dinner and we left the dinner, maybe we ran on to her at the dinner room, she would say, shalom, meant have a good night. And so the word in the Hebrew means peace. So every time they are saying shalom to their friends or family, they're speaking peace, peace over people. Now, the word peace, I looked it up in the Hebrew, many words, but listen to this. It means peace, of course, tranquility, inner contentment, speaking inner contentment to each other, prosperity, soundness of mind, welfare, and completeness. In other words, you all be whole in Jesus' name, Yahshua. So you be whole. Have inner contentment, tranquility, prosperity, soundness. I always, when I leave in somebody, just like to say blessings. Sometimes when I run on to somebody, I say blessings. I like to address my words like that at the end of a letter or the end of a text. Sometimes I just say blessings. Just speaking blessings. I didn't look that up to see what the Hebrew word is. There's a lot of things, and actually it'll fall under the words that go along with salvation, to be blessed. So, but here shalom has its own meanings. Now, I don't want to get off here, but in Hawaii, when they meet you, it's what? Aloha. And when you leave, it's aloha, which means love and peace. Not quite as full as shalom, but there are greetings that we can have. So, I loved hearing when she answered the phone, shalom. We walked into a restaurant, and the restaurant hostess would say, shalom. And when we left, it was shalom. It was wherever we went, that was the word. We didn't really understand all that that word entailed to us, but we just knew they were speaking peace over us and in us. Okay, but they live in a land where they know there is not peace. In their world, there is not peace in their land, and you know it. We see it every day, and we hear all the anti-Semitism going on here in America. People that literally hate them, and really, it's all about the Temple Mount. I don't want to get off, but let me just say, you know, there's 14 acres, and you all have seen on pictures of Israel, you'll see that big old Temple Mount. you've seen it, that big golden dome that's up, and there's a block, Jerusalem stone block wall around it. But that's what Hezbollah, the Muslims, have possession of it right now, at least when we were there. But Hezbollah, all the Muslims, everybody's after that Temple Mount. You know why? I don't know if they really know why. But that's where Jesus is going to come back, and he will rule from that site. It won't be that old Temple Mount, but that's where he's going to be. So I'm telling you, they're trying to take everything they can from God, but it's not going to work. And I'm going to just name this message this morning, but if, somebody say, but if, and you got to keep that in your heart, you have to keep in your mind, those sweet people over there in Israel, I can guarantee you, you can write it down, they're going through one of the worst times in their life besides the Holocaust, but I can tell you that shalom is still on their lips. They are still blessing each other. And I pray that the shalom of Israel, the shalom of God, the peace of God will unlock in our hearts and in our minds in America, not just the church, but around America. May shalom and the peace of God just explode in our hearts and let it be one of those rivers that flow out of us into our brothers and sisters in a time of war. In a time of rumors of war, in perilous times, in times where even the heavens are being shaken. Everything is being shaken. But he said, the only thing that will not be shaken is my kingdom. Okay, let me just get into it, or I'll get started here. Look over at Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5. I love this verse. So powerful. But if, here we go, you say, what a title. Well, that's all right. You'll see where I got it. Acts 5, we'll start reading at verse 30. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, his son, whom you, Peter's talking here, okay, Peter was once cowardly. But the Holy Ghost came in him and on him and turned him into another man. Okay, so he's talking to these same people that nailed Jesus on the cross, and he's telling them the story of the gospel. All right, he's not afraid. All right, look at verse 30 again. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you murdered by hanging him on a tree. Him God has exalted to his right hand to be who? The Prince and Savior. Now we know that Isaiah called him in Isaiah chapter 9, verse about 6. He called him the Prince of Peace. Here, Peter's calling him the Prince and Savior to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And Peter, I gave you witnesses last week. The whole sermon was about the witnesses of Jesus in the gospel. Verse 32, and we are his witnesses to these things. And so also is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. When the people of the town heard this, this is the craziest thing I've ever heard. This is good news. God has raised him up. He's given him the power to forgive people of their sins. He's exalted them. Verse 33 says, but when they heard this, they were furious, and they plotted to kill him. There's people out there this day that despise anyone that fights for the rights of the unborn, for freedom of speech, for protection of the church, education. They're just furious, and they want to kill, and they want to shut up the mouths of the church because we are the praying army. Verse 34, now look at the wisdom of this. One man had to stand up in front of this whole furious, angry, mob mentality crowd. Verse 34, and then one, just one, in the council stood up. He was a Pharisee. That means one who protected the law. I mean, lived the law. He was of the law. But still, he stood up. A Pharisee named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law, held in respect by all the people, and commanded them to put the apostles outside for a little while. He's like, you guys just stop. Just put them out. Because they were wanting to tear them up, kill them, murder them. We're not going to read the other verses there, but that's what it's saying. All right, let's go on down to verse 38. Here's why Gamaliel wanted to put them out. Verse 38. He says, here's his message. Now I say to you, keep away from these men and let them alone. For if this plan or this work is of men, it will come to nothing. But if, somebody say, but if. There it is. But if it is of God, if it is of God, you cannot overthrow it. Somebody ought to give God glory. If it's of God, you cannot overthrow it. It's not going to happen. Lest you even be found to fight against God. Verse 42, they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. So they just went right ahead, right ahead. Okay, so we know that what's going on out there, we look at it and say it's not of God. On the other hand, you look at it and say it's end time stuff. It's prophetic fulfillment of what God said was going to happen. And if it is of God, the man of God said, just leave the church alone. Leave them alone. And God may not step out and say this to this mob or this bunch, but believe me, when he speaks, they will hear. They have no choice. And it may look like they're going to overthrow us. They had a chance during COVID. They could have really knocked us out. They may have knocked us down, but like Paul said, we were knocked down, but not destroyed. We're up. And we're moving, and we're going, and the same glory and the same power that flows out of our belly is still flowing out. So he says, they can't overthrow you. But if it's of God, and this army that's formed around the world in the body of Christ that God has formed together, he's called us all together in all of our different places of worship. Oh, he says, if you're of God, they will never overthrow you. Hallelujah. Let them hate. Let the rumors start. Let everything go on. But Luke 21:25 also tells us, gives us warning. We won't go there because I've taught you this often. Luke 21:25. And if you read it on down, it says, now this know also. You know, all these things are going to come. And men's hearts are going to fail them for fear, for looking after all these things that are coming upon the earth. But then he says, you shall see him coming in a cloud with mighty power and great glory. That's how he's going to come. And about verse 22, it says, and there shall be signs. Oh, you'll see the signs. In the sun and in the moon and in the stars. And listen to this. And then he said, there will be distress. Ooh, distress of nations. Would you say the nations are in distress right now? It's like they're crazy in distress. And distress of nations. And then it says with perplexity. That means confusion and mixed up. The waters, the oceans. With perplexity, this is just the sea. And the waves are roaring. The sea and the waves hardly know what to do right now. You're hearing of tsunamis all over and earthquakes popping up out of the ocean and shaking the ocean. But he told us all this is going to happen. But he said, I also see even some of my people, I'm not just talking about the world, but some of my people, their hearts are failing them for fear for looking after those things that are coming on the earth. And I'm here to tell you, we serve a shalom God, a peaceful God who has come to bring peace to us. And we are of God. John said, little children, we are of God. And this word is of God. So you can write it down. This is of God. They cannot overtake you. That which the devil has plotted against you and your family. Families are in an upheaval. Finances are in an upheaval. Education, government. I mean, you've got government officials today that God is confusing their mind and their mouth. They are saying some of the silliest, craziest things, and they get caught in their own trap. They said it themselves. How is that happening to these intelligent people? Well, when God wants to confuse something, you know, we know the confusion is of the devil. But every now and then, God has to just let them ambush themselves. So we're in a really good place, church. I mean, we really are. Don't let your heart be troubled. And don't you dare let it be afraid. Because our God has a shalom that nobody else has for us. Listen, there's just nobody else that has it. Now, let me just go on here. And again, I talked to you about this, but I remember one night when Rick and Jamie passed. It was 3 or 4 nights later. And I woke up in the middle of the night. Boy, was I just tossing and turning in that bed. And whoo! I'm telling you, that forest was just too big for the trees, as the old saying goes. It was just unreal. And yet I had the peace of God like I never knew existed. I didn't even know he was like that. And yet I had his peace. But this night, I was just, I don't know, just toiling back and forth. And I heard the Lord say, turn on the TV. Or maybe I just felt it. But anyway, you know, we're his, so we're led by the Spirit. So I turned it on. And whoever was on there on TBN, they were talking about buying a new airplane and this and that and the other. I turned it off. That didn't help me. And so I opened up the Word of God, opened it right up to one of the Gospels. I'm thinking Luke. And when I opened it opened up to Paul and the men who were in the storm, Peter. And the disciples, remember, they were caught in this horrible storm. And it says they were toiling and rowing. It was storming. And the waves were up. And they're trying to, I don't know if they had oars like, they probably had oars like this. And they were working so hard. And the Bible said they were toiling in the rowing. They were just rowing and rowing and getting nowhere fast. I mean, have you ever been there? It's just like you're in a vicious circle and you're toiling and you're rowing and you're trying to get through and you're reading and you're praying and you just keep rowing and you're getting nowhere. But then it says Jesus walked by, and I'll never forget it. It said Jesus walked past the boat, and some of the disciples said, there's a ghost, he's a ghost. But Peter said, Jesus got a little bit close, and then they cried out to him. Peter cried out to him. Then the rest followed suit, and they cried out to him. And the Bible says, listen, this is so important for us to know today. He would have passed them by, but they cried out to him. That's why it's so important that you cry out to him. Don't just keep toiling and rowing. Don't just keep toiling. Don't just keep getting nowhere. Cry out to him. And it says, then when they cried out to him, he came over to the boat, and they saw that it was him. And Peter said, Lord, he knows him. If that's you, bid me to come to you, and I'll come. And so Peter just got out of the boat, and all Jesus had to say was one word, come. See, when Jesus speaks, it just be one word, but it's so peaceful. His voice is so peaceful. That's why you can be praying or reading the word and all of a sudden this peace comes over you because he just showed up. That word or that word in your heart, it brought peace. And Jesus just said, come. So Peter got out and walked on the water. But you know the story. He started looking at the waves and he crashed. And then he cried out again and Jesus picked him up. So we'll stop there. But I'm saying to you, but what if? What if you cry out? I cried out that night. Lord, what do I do? What am I going to do? And I was doing everything I knew to do. But I cried out. But what if? What if you cry out and he shows up and takes care of you? Well, the shalom of God came. I never stayed at one of those places very long because he always caused me to walk on that chaotic mess. Well, I'm not going to go here, Kathy. I think I put down I might go here, but I'm not, because if I go to this chapter, I'll get started. And again, I've showed you this chapter, but Psalms 107, write that down. Write down Psalms 107, verse 23. Because you need, if you don't have this in your heart, you need to get this story. Don't read it now, please. But you need to get this in your heart. It's another boat story. And there in Psalm 107, listen to me, you business people. It says, these people did business in great waters. They did business in deep waters. We do business in deep waters. And the Bible said God caused the waves to go up and go down. And when this ship went down, they were looking at the wave right there. It was so big. And then they would go down to the depths and up to the sky and down to the depths. And the Bible said they staggered like drunken men. They couldn't even walk on the deck of that ship because it was so upset. The waves was just tearing that poor old ship up. And it says that they were at their wit's end, literally. The old King James says that. The old King James, I think the new King James says it too, that it says their souls melted because of trouble. But then after it says their hearts melted because of trouble, that's pretty bad when you feel like your heart's going to melt. You got so much trouble and stuff you don't know what to do about. Then it says they were at their wit's end. Now after they came to their wit's end, once you read that story and get it in your heart, it will never leave you because it will serve you over and over and over and over. But the Bible says, just like it did over at the other side and what I learned in the middle of the night, that they cried out to the Lord. They were at their wit's end, their souls melted, they're crying, thinking they're going to die. But they cried out. And when they cried out to God, now this isn't the one where he was on the ship with them or on the waves by them. This is another story. So they cried out, oh God, help us. And the Bible says that the sea stopped roaring and the waves calmed down and the waves became still. That raging sea even obeys him. So the ocean calmed down, and then it says he brought them to their desired haven. They got to their place where they had always dreamed of going, but the storm was so bad it intimidated them. And they thought, we'll never make it. I'm not sure if we're going to make it on this one. Some of you may be thinking that right now. But you have a desired haven, something that you've thought about over the years that you'd like to obtain. I'm going to tell you, just because you haven't seen it, don't let go of it. Well, it says they got to their desired haven, and everything was still. But you know what they had to do? The Bible says, you'll see it down toward the end of the chapter, that they had, this is hard to believe for those of you maybe that understand fishing boats or cruises or whatever. They threw all their tackle and the things that they really needed. Paul told them, throw it overboard, lighten the ship, because the angel of the Lord told him to tell them. So they threw things overboard, things that they thought they really needed. Church, there's some things that we think we really need and we're just going to have, and you have to hold on to, where God's trying to let you let go. He's trying to say, I want you to be empty so I can fill you up. And they threw the tackle overboard. And then Paul said, well, the angel tells me to tell you to stay on the ship. Those of you who stay on the ship will arrive safe to land. And then there was a little, let me see how to spell that. Maybe I should have just turned over there. Sardis, I'm telling you the whole story anyway. But Acts 27:15. Go ahead and put that one up, Kathy. Maybe they've never seen this Sardis Sands. Okay, this is not the Sahara Sands. This is the Sardis Sands. I like 27:15. Because it says the ship was caught. Have you ever felt like you were caught? The ship was caught. Acts 27:15. And there was the Sardis Sands, and they were afraid that they were going to get, this was quicksand under the boat. Quicksand was underneath. So when the ship was caught and could not head into the wind, we let her drive. That sounds like Texas talk. We just let her drive. Go ahead. And running under the shelter of an island called Clauda, we secured the skiff with difficulty. And when they had taken it on board, they used cables to undergird the ship, fearing lest they should run aground on the Sardis Sands, struck sail, and so were driven. Okay. And because we were exceedingly tempestuously tossed, the next day they lightened the ship. Stop right there. And so there's times in our life where it looks like quicksand, or you might slip into this or fall into this. But you don't have to be afraid. But if. God is in you. The Holy Ghost is in you. But if you have the shalom of God, and he'll give it to you. They were worried about that quicksand. All right, leave it alone. So it was a very scary, scary place. But they lightened the ship, so they made it through. But let me also add this. Way back up at the top of the story, it says, they spent 14 days and nights, 14 days and nights, without seeing the sun, the moon, or the stars. That's pretty black. That's pretty dark. They didn't, you can see not seeing the sun, but not seeing the moon or the stars. Are you kidding me? Nothing. Pitch black. And these waves are crazy out there. And their hope is they have Paul and the angel of the Lord on the ship. Isn't that good? The people you work with, they may have no hope if you weren't there, but they have you there. They have you, and you're founded on the rock. All right, let me move on. So the ship was caught, and it was dark. Did you show a picture of that ship? Let me show you a little stormy ship if she's got a picture of it. I don't care how long you've been there. Maybe it's been more than 14 days and 14 nights. Maybe it's been 10 years. Maybe it's been 20 years. But all I know is the peace of God that passes our understanding. He says, but if I'm in you, I'll take care of you. Even when it's pouring down rain, you couldn't see the rain on that. That's an old cargo ship. But here's what happened there. The Bible says they dropped four anchors. And prayed. That's what it says there in Acts 27. They did drop their anchors, and they prayed. They dropped the anchors and prayed. It says four. So, you know, I've heard preachers preach all over that. You know, you could say, well, what were the four anchors? You think about the four anchors. Was it your faith? Was it your trust? Was it your confidence in Him? Was it just your love for Him? Drop your anchors on the rock, Christ Jesus. But if your anchor is on Him, it will anchor your soul. Look at Hebrews 6:19. Hebrews 6:19. You can read the rest of the verses above it later. Save time. I'll just go with 19. This hope we have as an anchor of our souls, both sure and steadfast, which enters the presence behind the veil, where the forerunner has entered for us, even Jesus, having become our high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. We anchor our hope. That's our hope. This hope we have is an anchor of the soul. Our soul is the one that gives us the trouble. Our soul is our emotions. That's the one that gives us the trouble. It's our spirit. If you're saved, your spirit's okay, but it's your soul that's constantly fighting you. Your soul's constantly fighting spirit. But the writer is saying, hold on a minute. Your hope is your anchor of your soul. Hope is the anchor of your soul. I love the logo for the Navy ships. It's always showing the anchor. Is there a little picture of the anchor? Look at that. But if you anchor your soul in Jesus, you'll always arrive safe to storm. The Bible called Him, you and I just read it in Acts 5, I think, 13. He was the Prince of Peace and the Savior. Prince of Peace and our Savior Prince. Our Prince, our Savior, our Prince of Peace, and also He is called the Prince of Life. You say, well, how am I going to do that, Pastor? How am I going to do it? Okay, can I show you one more piece of Scripture? All right, because you need this. This is so sweet, and yet it's so powerful. Here's how David did it. Go back over to Psalm 62. I think you'll take this home with you. I think you'll put this in your heart. Let it sink down into your ears and into your heart, as Omar Cirillo used to say. Psalm 62. Now this is repeated twice. And when God gave something to the author of a book, this happens to be David, he always is trying to get a point across. So listen to this. Psalm 62, verse 1. Truly, my soul silently waits for God. Just have to sometimes just shut up. Don't whine. Just silently wait for God. From Him comes my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. How can you not be moved? Because you are anchored. You're anchored. He is your defense. You're silently waiting on Him. And from Him came your salvation. And He's your rock. So you're anchored on Him. Remember the story in Luke where it talked about if you build your house on the sand, that means the world and shaky things. And you build your house, you build your life upon your friends and what your friends have to say. And how cool are they and what they're doing. And you're leaning more on your friends than you are the Word of God. Well, that's not good. And if you're building on your friends or somebody else, I'm going to tell you, your house, it says, when the winds come and the rains come down and the winds blow and the floods rise, your house will fall. And it says, great will be the fall of it. But if you were anchored on the rock, Christ Jesus, then when the rains come and the winds blow and the floods rise, when that happens, then you'll stand, and great will be your standing because you're in Him. Amen. Hallelujah. So He's your defense. You won't be moved if you're anchored in Him. You will not be moved, and he is your defense. One more time, verse 5. My soul waits silently for God alone. I'm not waiting on my best friend. I don't care what my best friend does. I'm waiting on him. I'm not waiting on my husband, not waiting on my wife. I'm waiting on you, Lord, you alone. My soul silently waits for God alone, for my expectation is from him. It's not from my friends. My expectation is not from any other source. We got to put our source, he is our source, period. David said, my soul waits silently for God, verse 5, my expectation is from him. He only is my rock. Excuse me, where am I? He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory, the rock of my strength, and my refuge is in God. My refuge is in God. Trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Selah, and I say shalom. Shalom. The blessings of the Lord rest upon us, church. Stand your feet with me today. Wait for him silently. Expect that the rivers of living water flow out of your heart to others. Just let it flow out. But if we stand on his word, you just may as well write it down. You'll never be overthrown. You won't be overthrown. I don't care what comes or what goes. I've seen some of you stand when the hardest times came. You just stood like a rock. It didn't move you. Were you hurt? Absolutely. Are you grieving? Oh, yeah, your heart is broken. Broken. But you know what? You stood. So may the Lord bless you and keep you. And may his angels have charge over you all week long, every day, every hour, every minute, you and your family. May he bless you and keep you, and may his grace shine upon you and be gracious to you. His face is looking at you. His countenance is shining upon us. That grace would follow you every day. He said, surely goodness and mercy, David said, would follow us all the days of our life. May his grace and mercy follow us, follow you, follow me, all the days of his life, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Read Acts 27. Amen.